Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Spotlight Star Wars. I'm excited to be talking to a wonderful person here on the show in a bit. Zach Bassinger is going to be on the show. Who's Zach? You're going to find out. And I think you're going to be glad you did. It's coming up in a bit. But there's been something going on I've been talking about on other Force Center broadcasts and every other show I'm touching. And I warned everybody, I warned y'all that this would happen. I went through some old storage boxes I had at a friend's house. Like 10, 12 years ago, I put those boxes in my friend's house and he finally said, come get your crap. So I did that. And I thank Paul every day, my friend Paul, because I have now been blessed with, dare I say, a plethora of Star Wars memories. A lot of them came rushing back. Not from just the stuff of that era. A lot of Revenge of the Sith stuff from that era were in those storage boxes, but I found some things I've been without. They haven't been in my life for a long time, but they all fuel my joy of Star Wars and my memories of Star Wars, the early days. You know, we all have our early Star Wars fandom days, our first entry points into the franchise, where maybe you're not quite old enough to know what you're watching or who was in the movie, who directed the movie, who edited the movie. That stuff comes later and sometimes not too far after you start your journey in Star Wars. It was for me. big space stories on the screen. Pretty soon was like, there's a guy named George Lucas and he makes them. And I was very young when I figured out he made the Star Wars movies and I wanted to be like the man in flannel. And your love of Star Wars very quickly grows to include the behind the scenes stuff. But what I'm talking about is that early era where your memories of it are attached to specific things. And here's the best example. A lot of us had VHS tapes of the Star Wars movies, and particularly Episode 4, New Hope, recorded from a network TV broadcast. You know, because those were the days. Star Wars is coming to your living room this Sunday, a TV event, and there'd be commercial breaks in it. And you've heard me talk about that before, where there was a long part of my fandom. I knew there weren't commercials in movies. I knew I was watching a TV version. I was aware of that. But still, the commercial breaks, particularly the one right when Leia's about to get tortured. Torture droid comes in. It's floating. That ball, that black orb of hate and pain floating towards Leia. Vader's giving her the look. Boom, the door slams shut. Cut to commercial. It just was how I grew up watching it. So in this storage box, I discovered something pretty awesome here. Oh, they kind of still smell. You hear that sound? That is the sound of a stack of Return of the Jedi Topps cards. That's right. Topps Chewing Gum Inc., the makers of some of the world's finest baseball cards, and I have a lot of baseball card memories, that is sure. But I have a lot of Star Wars memories attached to these Return of the Jedi cards. Now, I started collecting these right on the cusp. I wasn't collecting baseball cards quite yet, so these would have come out in, what, 83, 84 range, right? So I collected these because of my love of Star Wars. It was a couple years later. By the 85 baseball season, I'm starting to pay attention to sports, starting to pay attention to baseball. I have early foggy memories of the 85 World Series, John Tudor leading the way for the Cardinals against the Royals, and a 20-year-old Brett Saberhagen kind of stealing the show for the Royals. Great pitcher. So I have memories of that, and then I started by 86, 87, I'm into baseball cards, and I'm into Star Wars. But I'm into other things. And we talk about, and the interview is that coming up, you guys are about to listen to. We talk about that too. But I found these stack of cards, and I loved collecting them because I still associate certain things in Return of the Jedi with the cards and the titles of the cards. And do you do that too? This can't just be me. So, for instance, when I see Darth Vader and Moff Jer Gerard, who I now know is named Teon Jer Gerard, but back then I did not know, I think of the card called The Deciders, which is that shot of them waiting for the Emperor. Gerard nervous, apprehensive, Vader expectant, the mask hiding all of his emotions. Card number 56 in the collection, The Deciders. The fate of the galaxy hangs on the decisions of three men. Young Luke Skywalker and his father, Lord Darth Vader, and the mysterious Emperor, whom Vader is now waiting to greet aboard the Death Star, the Deciders. I think about that all the time. Then there's the great headshot photos. There's the headshot card of Luke Skywalker. I love it. It's him. That Luke hairstyle, but the whitish blue background, and his hood is down as he's entered Jabba's palace. And card number two in the series. Who's number one? We'll find out. Card number three was Darth Vader. Luke Skywalker, Tatooine farm boy turned rebel warrior. Luke Skywalker uses his Jedi powers to defend the galaxy against the evil aggressive Galactic Empire. And these cards also did with the opening crawl does, which probably gave me some bad grammar later on in life. Just it capitalizes Tatooine, Rebel, Luke Skywalker, Jedi, Galactic Empire. I don't know if that's proper, but I would do it. I still kind of do it. Infamous emphasis. Another one of my favorite cards, A Monstrous Fate. It's the skiff right before they push Luke out onto the platform. Card number 41 in the series. I got some doubles. I got the deciders. Ah, this one. I think about this one all the time when I watch Return of the Jedi. Oh, and the next one, too. I just grabbed my stack of cards here. We're going through this live. I won't take too much of your time, but go with me on this journey of joy. It is, let's see, I almost wish this was some sort of guessing game in a video show. It's card number 127 in the series. It's towards the end there. And the description is, Han Solo takes time to congratulate Wedge. I just gave it away. There you go. Han Solo takes time to congratulate Wedge, a courageous rebel pilot during the victory celebration on the moon of Endor. This is truly a glorious day for the forces of freedom. What great writing there. And it's that great shot. And the title of the card is Congratulating Wedge. And it's a smiling Harrison Ford, Han Solo, leaning over, shaking, just a real, just nice looking Wedge. He's just smiling. And in the foreground, you just see the top dome, the top of R2-D2's dome. I loved this card. I had this as a kid because this is the type of card that would inspire your own kind of headcanon of the conversation they were having there. You know, Wedge is that guy. He survived all three films. So, you know, to me, they had this shared memory, these shared experiences. Is part of this conversation that's going on here, you know, Han Solo saying, hey, man, thanks for taking out the North Reactor there in the Death Star there. And Wedge goes, well, you know what? Thanks for saving the day back there in Battle of Yavin, coming back and helping Luke. I couldn't do it. I had to fly off. But you know what? We both can agree. Hoth was cold, right? Am I right? Am I right? I know I'm right. That's the thing I would daydream about when I had this card in my hand at 7 or 8. That's what I love. It's all things. It's all Star Wars. It's all feeding back to our joy. The next one that I reacted to as I started to pick up Graduate Wedge, it's just one of my favorite shots in Star Wars. It's the quiet C-3PO with exclamation point card. Number 95 in the series. After Luke Skywalker leaves for his final confrontation with his father, Princess Leia, and Chewie warn C-3PO to be quiet during the upcoming raid on the Imperial bunker on Endor. It's an underrated moment in the film, too. I think that's pretty funny. But the great shot, I know a lot of you are picturing it right now. It is 3PO. His right arm kind of like up, almost as if he's embracing or giving Leia a hug here. Reaching for one, and Leia's just got her hand over his mouth with a nice little digital-looking watch on there. And Chewie is mid-roar, quiet roar, but he's mid-roar. And he's got that wonderful Chewbacca Return of the Jedi hair. Little 80s. It was like Chewbacca in New Hope and a little bit Empire. It's like he was in one of those kind of like California Sound Eagle bands. Like he was opening for Jackson Brown or maybe doing rhythm guitar in his band. But by Jedi, Chewie's got the bangs and the fluffed hair. He's into hair metal. He's opening up for LA Guns and Rat at this point. I love that card. I just love this card. I always have that memory of this card. I'm not going to go through. I have an entire stack. But do you have memories of these cards? Look at the cards. The Princess Enslaved, facing Jabba the Hutt, on the sail barge. This was a great one because it had... Had 3PO hanging around with he's hanging around with Yak Face and Reese. Gosh, good thing I'm not in a trivia contest anytime soon. I got the battle begins. Oh, Lando Calrissian's fight for life with him and one of the Neek Two there, and that blast going on behind him. It's a very active. Oh, my gosh. This one you could hang on a wall. The Demise of Jabba the Hutt. I remember when I finally got this card. This was a hard one for me to get. And it's got Leia in Bausch disguise on the back, but on the front, it is her choking the hell out of Jabba the Hutt. That's a valuable card. The memories are just dripping from these cards. The cards are in pretty good condition. Boba Fett's Last Stand. The Deadly Cannon. This one. The Raging Battle, which this is... I talk often. Talk about how your memories as a child, and this is what I mean of just that early days of your fandom. You all know. And it doesn't matter. It could be It could be Force Awakens. You could be listening to me right now and you're, you know, 16 and Force Awakens came out in 2015 and you were 12 and you weren't as plugged into movie news and the sites. And your love of Force Awakens is a little different than it is now. You might love it now, but now you're very much maybe more aware of the process and the stories and J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy and all those kind of names. But back then, it was just different. It was just Star Wars. For me, 7, 8. And looking at this picture of Luke on top of the sail barge with that green lightsaber, ready for action, the raging battle, this... And I wrote about this in Why We Love Star Wars. This was the picture I associated with my early memories of discovering what Star Wars was, even though the picture in my mind was not this. What I'd seen was Luke, more with even the blue saber, in the trailer at a slumber party. But this photo kind of replaced that in my mind. It's an interesting effect, but it worked nonetheless for me. There's so many wonderful cards here. I'm trying to see The Plan Begins, Forest of Endor, Droids on the Move. These titles are great. Blasting a Speeder Bike, Entering the Throne Room. You could just write a movie just based on Levitated by Luke. Oh, my God. I got to frame this one. Low Gray and Chief Chirpa. This is where my obsession with the relationship, the business relationship, the ruling class party relationship between Low Gray and Chief Chirpa. This says, number 85 in the series, another view of Low Gray, the Ewok medicine man. Behind him is Chief Chirpa. C-3PO, of course, arrived at the Ewok village in triumphal procession, while his friends were treated as simple trespassers, and then eventually, hopefully, dinner. But what I like about Low Gray's in front, man, this goes to my theory that Low Gray's the true power here, but I'm more of a Chirpa guy. I'm suspicious of Low Gray. The Forest Creatures is a great... It's a great Ewok one. And then here again, unexpected allies. It's Low Gray and Chirpa. Low Gray's got the power seat here, man. Chirpa's sitting down. I don't know about that Low Gray. Han Solo's approach. Ready for action. It's another solo one. Observed by the Ewoks. The courageous Ewoks. Again, more Low Gray. A lot of Low Gray, which is okay. R2-D2 hit. Ewoks to the rescue. I'm going to scroll through it. Oh, Master of Terror. You got the Emperor. And what I would do, just what I'm doing now, here I am on a podcast, and we're about to get to a great interview, deep, insightful interview of Star Wars. But also, there's that side of Star Wars, and then there's this side of Star Wars. Me now at my age, looking at the same set of cards. These are the same set of cards I've had for years. And going back to where I was at 7 and reconnecting to that joy then, because it's the same joy now. Look at the title of this card. Military Leader, Admiral Akbar. Victory Celebration. The Heroic Droids. And then we get checklist. Oh, the number one card. The number one card in the set was title card. So there you go. Luke was the first character. Then Vader, Solo, Princess Leia, Organa, Lando, Calrissian, Chewbacca, C-3PO, and R2-D2. And then the new Death Star, which is a card I don't believe I have. I didn't get all this set. I didn't get this set. I tried as a kid. I really did. Ooh, Imperial Scout Peril. That's a good card. I've got a double of Congratulating Wedge. I will trade someone a Congratulating Wedge and a Deciders card for the new Death Star card. I don't have that one. Anyone want to trade? Anyone want to trade? Let me know. I got a Bib Fortuna. Got a Court of Evil. Oh my God. I was just about to wrap this up. I mean, look at this. We got Han Solo's plight, the princess enslaved again, the young Jedi, the great shot of Luke, the court in chaos, which was a hard card for me to get. It's just Gamorrean guards and some other characters there, some other denizens of the court, just in chaos, just staring. Here's the final one. This is the final card I'll talk about here. And I'm just thank you for taking this journey with me. We got a great thing coming here with Zach Bassinger coming into the studio here, the virtual studio. There is this card titled Beto and a Jawa. Beto and a Jawa. And it is, you know, it is a Rodian and a Jawa in Jabba's palace. The stairs, they're sitting on the stairs. They're sitting, it should be noted, on the stairs, very bright. And this was, to me, one of the early Star Wars trivia bits of information that I committed to memory. and would wow people with at about 8 or 9 or 10, or then you'd pull it out at about 11 or 12 years of age because people have forgotten about it. Beedo, a relative of Greedo, in parentheses, killed by Han Solo in the cantina some time ago, sits with a Jawa on the stairs of Jabba the Hutt's palace. Now, this is all true. There was this Rodian dressed exactly like Greedo. This one, a little bit more, look for the look of this card design, clearly designed to be female there, but I love this. And I would go around and, well, Greedo's cousin Beedo was in the palace there, forming plan of revenge on Han Solo. And there you go. Headcanon was formed. And this is, again, why it's hard to write new Star Wars stories, because a Topps trading card in 1983 inspired Little Kenny Knapsack to create an entire adventure around the character Beedo. So if you're going to do Beedo, a Star Wars story, my expectations are already through the roof. Thank you for going through that journey. What piece of Star Wars memorabilia do you have that still takes you back to your early days of the fandom, early days of your personal journey, and just take you back? And also, you can't separate yourself from it. I still see that shot of the speeder bike pointing his blaster at Leia's head, and I go to the card. It's still in my head, just like the commercial breaks in A New Hope. Folks, do me a favor. Stick around. My ramblings are going to stop, and we're going to bring in a guest. Zach Bassinger's coming in here, a writer, woodworker, and more. You're going to hear the story of how we met, how we came to know each other, and why he's on the show. But this is just a great Star Wars conversation about the power of Star Wars, the healing power of Star Wars, and just the pure awesomeness of Star Wars and the characters and the moments that mean everything to us. It's a great interview. Very happy to have conducted it. Stick around. That's coming next here on Spotlight Star Wars.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out.
Spotlight Star Wars fans, I am excited to conduct this little interview here. This is something that's been in the works for a bit. I got a friend. I got a pal. He is a writer. He's listed on Twitter as writer and kayfaber, which is a pro wrestling fan. I can respect that. But he's also a great woodworker, too. I have some wood art pieces of his, and Joseph does, too, in our collections. I'm pleased to introduce Zach Bassinger, fan and friend of Star Wars. Zach, welcome to the show.
Ken, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk some Star Wars.
Yeah, man, this is great. And I'm going to just tell people what happened and how we came to know each other. You had sent a very heartfelt message to me and Joseph and the 4Center Twitter handle talking about just saying a nice word of thanks, which we very much appreciate. I mean, it's not lost on us when someone takes the time to reach out to Joseph and Jennifer and I and say, hey, we enjoy your Star Wars monologues and ramblings. We appreciate it. But this one struck me a little different. It was late at night, and you just were talking about your own personal battle and how Star Wars related to that. And I just did a little more like, who is this cat? And look, Zach, let's tell you are battling cancer, man. You are in a tough fight. But you are a Jedi in spirit, heart, and person, and you moved me with a lot of your approach to this and how your connection to Star Wars helps you. So, here we are. We're pals, man.
Here we are. Yeah. It's, and likewise, you guys have this pretty incredible relationship with your audience where we view you guys as friends. We listen to you every week, and we know you, and you don't know us. And it was one of those perfect scenarios where I was at a point where I was getting some rough news, not the kind of stuff you want to hear. And I put on 4Center when I have a bad day, and I put on 4Center when I want to hear about positivity, about this kind of this canon I love and this universe I love. And it just struck me that it was with some of the negativity that we see on Twitter, for instance, that maybe you guys don't hear enough how many of us out there that you don't see or you don't talk to really appreciate what you guys do.
Well, again, I always try to remind myself to take praise when given, because far too often we have a tendency. It's one thing to be, hey, I'm humble. It's another thing to reject any praise to the fact that you kind of forget who you are or why you got in here. And it means a lot to us. But also, I think the magic is Joseph and I right now, and Jennifer, when she's fully formed in the team there, and she's always there in spirit, we are just three friends, often with a whiskey, hanging around talking Star Wars. And I think that's the genesis of everyone's love of Star Wars. And it starts by yourself in a theater at home watching VHS. It grows on the playgrounds. It grows with the connections that you make to people. So I got to ask you, man, when did your love of Star Wars really take hold? When did you, what was your entry point into the fandom?
Well, I think, I'm 35. And so I was at that perfect age for when the Powers of the Force line came out. And so for me, there's really these two major points in the fandom I look back on, and one was for Christmas getting the Millennium Falcon, and just that was the ultimate toy. It's the last great gift we didn't really do big Christmases, and so yeah. This was a big deal, and I just wanted to know everything that happened with this ship and all, and I was in charge of the adventures, right? Like so many yeah. of us were, and like you know, you made the joke or you mentioned kayfabe, but like the part of the attraction to Star Wars is the same attraction that I've had. You know, we have overlapping fandoms. You know, but baseball right. is a great love. Yeah, Game yeah. of Thrones, pro wrestling, Star Wars, and what these all share in common is they don't end. It's ongoing stories forever that we can invest in as fans. And so, you know, that's the first point where, you know, just holding this Millennium Falcon in my hands, barely knowing what Star Wars was, but wanting to know everything about this ship. Wow. And the second time, it's even a little bit earlier, but I was a huge fan of the show Sequest DSV as a kid.
Yeah.
That Roy Scheider, Jonathan Brandis, that show is like my high water mark. I hope it holds up. Maybe I should check it out again.
It does. Yeah.
But Mark Hamill was did a major guest spot on the show, and I remember watching the show and my dad saying, "That's Luke Skywalker," and I it's Luke who?
What now?
You know, Luke Skywalker, yeah. And I said, you know, from Star Wars, and for me, Star Wars was. I knew it from the Muppet Babies. I knew it from the clips. So that's really where it all started. And it never stopped. It never went away.
And it's amazing stuff. You're running down this wonderful laundry list of items that we all experience, but is also so unique to our own stories. This is why I love it. This is why you talk about Muppet Babies. I thought I was alone. And maybe one of my friends at school of like being, you know, enthralled by those episodes of the Muppet Babies where they did Star Wars parodies. Then I meet Mark Ellis years later on Schmoes, and he's like, you know, the Muppet Babies, Star Wars. And now to hear you, that's what I love. It is universal and unique all at the same time. And that's also why it's important for Star Wars to be in other kind of forms, and why Star Wars kids and different kind of books and comics and middle grade readers and junior readers, you never know what's going to grab someone and pull them into Star Wars, you know?
Well, absolutely. And the idea that as fans, we would begrudge that because it is an open playing field for us all to jump on board. And, you know, even sitting here thinking about, I mean, you guys could probably do a multi-part series just on Mark Hamill's relationship with the Muppets in general and how it relates to Star Wars. But the what Disney's doing now for kids, you know, the Galaxy of Adventure and so many other things, I see it, and it makes me whimsical for a little bit of a dead time in the Star Wars universe. But but you know, the Ewok movies and Muppet Babies, and it was enough even then to make me a lifelong fan.
Well, that's how I was going to go to that, but you kind of answered what I was the question I was going to. It's like you are, because of our ages, I'm 44, you're 35, so there's enough difference there where you kind of came up in that what we call the dark days of Star Wars. No movies, books, things are on the side, like Muppet Babies, like the Ewok movies, little different things. So I think it's fascinating to me that this Star Wars still had the power to reach out and grab you during that period. It found you. It found you.
Well, that it found it. Not only that, but like you know, I was of this, you know, so I'm stuck in this generation where they're, you know, I was born after Jedi came out, and right. but all of my friends' older brothers had Star Wars toys. I mean, I remember the first time I saw a Boba Fett action figure in some bin in a basement, and you know. I think, you know, it maybe gets a little biblical where it's like, you know, you got to remember your commandments, because I was thinking, would he notice if I put this cool thing in my pocket? And what is this?
I think you can steal Star Wars toys if it's to fuel your love. I'm not sure.
That's right. Okay. Well, that makes me feel better about walking out of the house with a Boba Fett that day.
Especially if it's Boba Fett. Yeah, you know, but Boba Fett would do it. So why wouldn't you?
There you go. Yeah.
As you got older, Zach, as you get older and other pursuits and all those other kind of things sweep into our lives, understandably, you know, baseball even for me, Robotech, and then school and ladies and drama and acting and comedy, and all these things come in. Star Wars either leaves you or it stays with you. And now that level may go up and down, but it stays with you. And sounds like you're, like you said, you're the one type of person that it stayed with you. How did your love grow during those times?
Well, you know, it's funny. So I was in the ninth grade on opening night when The Phantom Menace came out. And the idea that someone could say a bad thing about The Phantom Menace to me is blasphemy, because I've always loved the prequels, but I wanted to love the prequels. I left the theater thinking, you know, well, there was really no Han Solo character here. There's really no, the archetypes that we love aren't here. But certainly, like you said, you know, girls come around and high school comes around, you find out about this thing called alcohol and, you know, sports and this and that. But my darkest Star Wars days, where the fandom did taper off the most, would have been around that Revenge of the Sith time, and up until, you know, the Clone Wars came out, and I pretty much checked out until, you know, we had that day where I had just finished going through my first round of chemo, and all of a sudden the news is Uncle Iger and George Lucas are sitting behind a MacBook Pro screen with a hastily put together image of Disney and Lucasfilm. And it honestly was one of those moments where I said, oh, well, I got to figure out a way to stick around for this.
Wow. Yeah, no, I get it. And that's, I get it, but I don't get it. And that's part of the conversation I want to have here. I just, that, what an interesting, just kind of to kick your ass in a way. Like, there's a lot of things I want to hold on to. Hot damn, there's more Star Wars. I'm grabbing on.
It sounds silly, but I mean, you know, not to get too deep into the details, but it was December of 2011 when we finally figured out what was going on with me, which is mesothelioma, which is a rare cancer. I was 27 at the time. It usually doesn't hit you till you're 67. And then even then you have maybe an 18-month prognosis for survival. I didn't even know what it was besides hearing, oh, that's the word from the commercials with the lawyers.
Yes.
Yeah. And at that moment, a lot of people are very gracious and they say, I don't know what's going on. I could never know. You know. And everybody listening knows. You know, deep down, we all know what it's like. And it's exactly like you think it is. It's good days and it's bad days. And it's just another thing more than anything. But in that moment when the doctor told me, my first thought was of my wife, who was my fiance at the time. And, you know, that just punched me in the gut and I lost all the wind thinking of her. But literally the second thought was, well, Avengers is in 6 months. So. Mm. Let's get there and figure out from there. You know, I know this is a Star Wars podcast, but sitting in Endgame this time last year, as I had been sick again, I count those Avengers movies like Boba Fett counts Wookiee braids or something. You know,
No, you're there. Yeah, you're there for the end of the story. That's powerful to me, and speaks also to how important these little silly stories are. And we can joke and say, yeah, they're silly little space wizard movies and they're superhero pictures, and they are. But they also, I always say, I always do this on reference to the end of Kingdom. What is the Kingdom of Heaven? What does Jerusalem mean? Nothing. Everything.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why I take with this stuff. I go to that a lot. And so first of all, I want more braids on your body armor here on your Mandalorian stolen.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
And you get to the end of the Rise of Skywalker, the saga. I mean, and there's more films coming. So let's do it here. But let's talk about the healing power of Star Wars, the best it can, because some of our early conversations were little simple things. I'll cite one here. I don't have it in front of me. I'm paraphrasing you a little bit, but just you're talking about, you had an image of like Wedge flying an X-wing into the tumor as you went to chemo, and just how little silly things like that are great sources of inspiration and calm and comfort, right? I mean, am I off base in saying that?
Not at all. I mean, I honestly, you know, you flip a coin and it's so much of it's genetics, but I do believe a lot of it's attitude. That's the only thing that we're in control of is what we bring to the table, you know, emotionally. Right. And for me, visualization is a big part of it. And so, you know, I would think of during my first round of chemo, and that this was 9 years ago, I've been incredibly lucky. But you know, I thought of Lando and Wedge flying through the Millennium, flying in the Falcon and the X-Wings into the second Death Star and blowing that stuff up. And I still do, you know, I'm going back for emergency chemo tomorrow. And thank you for having me on the show today, because I haven't been thinking about the emergency chemo. I've been thinking about talking Star Wars with you, which is another powerful thing. But the idea that we can, our relationship with the things that we love inevitably change. And that is through with partners, and that is with movies, and that's with, it doesn't matter, fatherhood, divorce, loss, cancer, all of these things can change our perspective, but they don't often change our love. And that's been the great thing about Star Wars. And, you know, I would say to anybody listening, don't write off your love for Star Wars or ever feel like you have to, because everything that I have ever needed to know about being the person that I've dreamed of being, about being the person that I wanted to become, Star Wars gave me that. Whether it's through looking at the way Qui-Gon experiences the Force, or the love that Luke shows his father, or the leadership skills and the incredible strength that Leia shows after, you know, Alderaan is blown into smithereens. George made it for 12-year-olds. He's joked about it before, and now it's for everybody. But those are the lessons that I took away on who I wanted to be as an adult.
Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. And I got to imagine that as you go through this battle and been going through it for, like you said, about 9 years now, and continuing to fight, as Jin would want you to, you know, you keep fighting till the chances are spent. But how has this new era of Star Wars just emboldened your beliefs and thoughts of Star Wars and how it relates to what you're going through, or even just the simple days when it's easier, or the bad days? You know, how has this affected your fandom now?
Well, I'll tell you, the Last Jedi really affected me in a profound way. And Luke Skywalker's relationship with failure and hope. And I think it's pinned to my Twitter probably.
Yeah.
I did a whole long diatribe on my relationship with cancer and loss and failure and how I connected with Luke in that film. That was something that I don't think I would have watched Star Wars with that context without having to go through it. But if even times when we don't want to always feel profound, and we don't always want to look into deeper things. When I can't sleep at night because I'm hurting a little bit, or even, you know, you have something on your mind, Star Wars is what goes on. So it's a happy place for me as well.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite lighter, happier moments, man? We can talk the deep philosophical stuff till Qui-Gon comes back from the other side of the Force. But what are some of your favorite moments, man? What are some of the things that make you just love Star Wars?
Well, I think that, you know, just off the cuff, the joy of episode 7 and the opening of that film and how quickly you're back in Star Wars is something that I feel that every time I put on that movie, that excitement and having that that deep moment to exhale and say Star Wars is back. Yeah. You know, and for me, Jedi from start to end that's my Star Wars film. It's got Muppets, right? It's got redemption. It's got a new lightsaber and it's got a lot of Lando clapping and Widget hugging and Wedge and you know how do we not think of the last scene, whichever version is your favorite, and not feel joy?
I've talked a lot of Star Wars for a lot of years now. That is the first time I have heard Lando clapping as a reason to love Star Wars. And you know what? That's 100% right. Love that.
So I'll tell you, well, then, you know what? If there's folks listening and they've never really appreciated Billy Dee in that scene, go watch it right now, because he is just nailing it, man. He's just wonderful.
It is great, man. Yeah. What are some of your favorite characters too? We're talking about moments, and feel free to add to that list. But yeah, I'm a Han Solo guy. So I was pulled in by the swagger and the guy trying to figure out who he is underneath it all. From early age, what are your favorite characters? Or, and has that changed? Are you affected now? Not even just your situation, but just with age and time over your love of a certain character.
Yeah, I know you're a wars guy. I'm a lore and exposition guy. So, Qui-Gon was a character from the beginning that I just was fascinated with. Luke Skywalker is probably my favorite fictional character of all time. And I don't think of the going to Tosche Station to pick up power converters, Luke, when I think of the name Luke Skywalker. And like so many of the fans, I don't even necessarily think of Luke becoming a Jedi Knight in Jedi. I think Luke Skywalker to me is this character that's lived in my head for 30 years and what he did after those stories. And I can understand how that's a very difficult thing for some people to, you know, have that relationship for so long. But for me, I liked the direction they took the character in, give me any of the Jedis. Give me Plo Koon. Nice. You know, give me Yoda. The one of my favorite scenes in Star Wars is Yoda and Bail sitting in the car where Yoda decides he has to go into hiding. And you talk about how things change as a young man. That was to me the worst scene in all of Star Wars, and it's since become my favorite.
Wow. Why? Yeah. Just what grabs you now? What changed?
So, yeah. So, you know, as a young man being, you know, 22 or 21, when I saw the movie, we know that Yoda's a warrior. We've seen him battle Dooku. We know that he's the wisest Jedi in the land. And that's the archetype that he is as we get the reveal in Empire. But, Yoda is running away from the fight, and Yoda is going off into hiding when he still has this power and the entire galaxy needs him the most. And I struggled with that for a long time. And what kind of dawned on me in my later years is, even though Order 66 is something that took a millennium, you know, generations and generations of planning from the Sith and these evildoers, this is something that reaches out and slaps the Jedi across the face in a single moment. They had been losing their ability to connect with the Force, losing their kind of clairvoyance. And all of a sudden, in the moment where Yoda is supposed to step up and the Force is his ally, the Force is his friend, the Force is his life, the Force leaves him. And he loses to Darth Sidious. And there's this wonderfully animated moment where he's in the car, where to me the takeaway became Yoda is saying, the forces just told me I've done this all wrong. Wow. And I need to go, I've dedicated my life to the force. I need to go get right with this thing because it has removed me from the board and because I have failed. And that's why the Yoda that we see in Empire is such a fascinating character to me because, you know, we have seen a master humbled and a master that, I would argue is starting to begin to unravel this great cosmic entity and think about how silly some of those rules might have been.
Yeah, you know, because we were talking about Attack of the Clones this past week on the main show at the time of this recording, and we talked about the connection and what a connection that wasn't, you know, certainly immediately apparent to my young mind in 2002 of just Yoda coming back with the clones to save everyone at the Geonosis Arena makes perfect sense to us. But this is the same character that tells Luke, you can't run off and save your friends if you value what they fight for. And the lessons learned from that moment to then, and then combine it to Last Jedi with a creature that's sitting there telling Luke, failure's the best teacher. I think that emotional canon is so powerful. And there's so much to learn like from that one scene. I'm glad you brought it up. The slumping of Yoda.
You know.
Yeah.
Reconciliation, man. Well, that's the one thing every Star Wars fan has to be adept at. You know, they could, you know, the Star Wars and reconciliation could be a college course.
It absolutely could. Let's talk Luke right now. You mentioned it and you mentioned that you like the direction that they took, and I take the wanting Mecha Luke and igniting green and all those kind of conversations out because I even get that too, even though I myself am tremendously happy with this direction. It makes sense. I've had some very honest conversations with some friends. One of the head writers of the Schmodown who looked me in the eyes one day over dinner is like, Luke was my favorite character. Last Jedi hurt me. And he wasn't like toxic bad. He was just like, man, really. That was a tough one. He actually said, he goes, that was real tough. And that was one of the times I got it more than any other time. You're a Skywalker fan. You've grown up. You also, when this new era begins, you're in the battle of your life. And you get this hero Luke that you might be writing for, and it goes a different direction. Take me through just your process of experiencing Luke Skywalker in the modern era from first seeing it in 2015 to where you are now.
Absolutely. I think the first thing I'll say is it hurt me too. Mm. And I think that's kind of the point because so much of that movie is about failure, and Luke failed his nephew. He was unwilling to kill his nephew. But at the same time, at least this is Luke's feeling, right? And he also failed to live up to his ideal of what a quote unquote, what a Luke Skywalker should be. Yeah. And so he's tied into this cosmic force now. And just like, you know, very similar to what I said about Yoda with Bail in that speeder, he thinks that the cosmic force will choose another avatar, and the force will take care of itself. It's kind of like when we talk about the harm that we're doing to our planet, and this is not political by any means, but the Earth itself is going to take care of itself. We're trying to save us as a species, but the force is going to take care of itself. And so Luke is so crushed. And Luke is so paired with this PTSD and this doubt. He thinks it's time to remove himself from this generational cycle. And it takes a hopeful youth to remind him that it's a different Ben, but with great power comes great responsibility. And that's why that climax is so meaningful to me, because with my condition, you know, look, I'm dying, and maybe something miraculous happens, but this is not what we want to go into the podcast, but I'll be very happy if I can get through the end of the summer. And there has to be a bit of an acceptance there. And that's kind of how I felt towards that character. I just accepted what I was seeing on the screen, and it became all the sweeter when we do see a nonviolent, powerful Luke Skywalker getting back on the horse, because that's the only thing we can do in situations like this. We can only put one foot in front of the other. That's the most important thing to do when you're hurt and when you've been wronged or you're harmed. And he doesn't incite fear. He doesn't commit an act of violence. He uses his last life's breath to teach a lesson and to share hope with the galaxy, to inspire people. That is a Jedi.
Mm. Yeah. And a reminder of the things that happen in these stories, and the decisions the characters make are sometimes troubling and painful and wrong and full of failure. And that is the point, because we're supposed to learn from that and get to the next phase. And I think what you just shared was just a powerful experience of what that story and what the life of Luke Skywalker meant and continues to mean. And that's the great thing, is that story gets to be told over and over and over again to a new generation of fans who are just now discovering it because their parents got Disney Plus, or they stumbled onto Star Wars Kids on YouTube, or they saw a toy in an aisle at a store. It begins again.
Absolutely. And they'll accept it as fact and canon and set in stone in a way that, you know, original trilogy fans might struggle with, like they did with the prequels, or the prequel fans might struggle with the sequel trilogy. But in the end, we all might write things a little bit differently. We all might wish things worked a little bit better, but, you know, my coon hound was out running around outside and making sure she was okay. But the biggest part of it is, to me, is what did I want my relationship with Star Wars to be like? And I wanted my relationship with Star Wars to be, one of positivity and gratitude and celebration.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's not always an easy choice. It's not always an easy choice. There's things in every movie, show, project, Star Wars that are going to get you thinking. And at the end of the day, it's like we always say about Qui-Gon, you focus determines reality, all those kind of good lore things you are more adept at than I. I think that's why it's the powerful direction to go. As Qui-Gon says, the other one, you know, this one Joseph and I have been talking a lot about lately of the, I go towards the light because it's there.
Isn't that awesome?
It's so awesome. And, I'm so happy and proud that I got to know you and get to know you and still get to converse with you, my friend. There is a lot more Star Wars to enjoy. And I'm going to pray every day that you are here with me on this this journey as long as the fight will take you, my friend, to speak plainly. And I like that you speak plainly. I think that's inspirational in its own way.
Well, I appreciate it. And I just appreciate a chance to, you know, get to talk Star Wars for a little while.
Hey, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun just talking about our favorite spaceships and lightsabers. Is Luke's green saber your favorite? What lightsaber would you go with?
Yeah, definitely. I love Luke's green saber. Have you ever been on Saber Forge before on their website?
I have not. I do have an Ultra Saber lightsaber.
Sabers are great as well. At Saber Forge, they're out of Washington. They used to be right down, not too far of a drive from where my wife and I lived in Montana. But they have with all their pieces, you can drag and drop and build your own saber. And it's a lot of fun. But somehow I end up always just building Luke's saber. So,
You go where your heart wants you to go.
Hey, you got it.
My friend, we'll talk Star Wars again soon, but it's been a pleasure having you here on Spotlight Star Wars and the Force Center podcast feed right now, sharing just your relationship with Star Wars, which is a tremendously moving and inspiring one in the face of difficulty, which, hey, that is life. And that is,
that, it's just the way it is, man.
It's just the way it is. So, Zach Basinger, you are on Twitter at Criminy Danger. What's that story?
I don't even know, man. It started out as something with Jiminy Cricket, ended up with Criminy Danger, and it's just I didn't want to spend too much time thinking about it. So
it's perfect.
Yeah. I'd love to, you know, I'm strictly on that Twitter account to talk Star Wars, you know, and talk about, have great conversations about positivity. If anybody wants to look me up.
Yeah, please. Force Center listeners, reach out to Zach. I will have a link in the podcast page, which is easier to access those links through, Anchor, but I'll have a link to the GoFundMe that I've been, talking about over on the Knapsack Files that directly goes to, Zach and his wife and this fight, the fight of fights. And so, I do want to point people in that direction if they so choose. It'll be there, on, the, Anchor page. Like I said, it's in the podcast description, but sometimes those links I've discovered don't work on other podcast spots. So head over to Anchor for that. Zach, thank you so much. We're going to keep going here on Force Center. Spotlight Star Wars rolls on. I cannot thank Zach enough for coming on in to the Force Center Studios Spotlight Star Wars and sharing his story, his Star Wars fandom testimonial, and just really speaking some truths, some hard truths, some big truths, some small truths about Star Wars. And it was just a blessing and an honor to listen to what he has to say. And in closing, I wanted to read his thread that's on his Twitter page, Crime Any Danger. You can follow it and read it yourself. I loved it. And I just want to share it with y'all. He wrote this back on September 28th, 2019. Well, after Last Jedi came out, well, after the hubbub of Last Jedi came and, well, not quite went. And it's easy for us fans, myself included, to get pulled down by those clouds, those storms of negativity around something here. And again, as we say a lot here, it's not about questioning some things about Star Wars or breaking it down, trying to ask some tough questions, and maybe not even liking some parts. That is all part of it. It's all part of the fun. Star Wars is big enough for your questions and your doubt and occasionally your anger, but we all know there is that tumultuous storm, that tumultuous sea of negativity out there, and it can pull you down. So Zach wrote this back in September of 2019. And I wanted to read it as we close out today's episode of Spotlight Star Wars. He writes, "So here is a thread on why The Last Jedi is a Star Wars film that I believe will grow with fans generationally in a profound way. Also, how it has helped during chemo and cancer stuff. Opinions are my own, and you don't have to feel this way, but let's be decent. As someone eyeing middle age, trying to reconcile the dreams, accomplishments of youth, The Last Jedi is a wonderful movie about adulthood. As someone dying of cancer and at times wanting to run away to Akto, Luke's pain and bravery and ultimate heroics have been worth reflecting on. The Last Jedi, just my take, is in part about what happens after your greatest victory and how your views change after you've lived to see a few generational cycles and the world is no longer so new. The looming part of The Last Jedi is what happens to a hero when you've lived long enough to have others let you down, to let down yourself, and to fail to measure up to your own internal projection of who you are, quote, supposed to be. Rian Johnson created a masterclass, both visually and emotionally, in this area specifically. We see a hero recoiling from failure and tragedy. Luke is in pain. He tried to teach impressionable youths in need of guidance the way of a religion he idolized and fully believed in. Luke isn't just trying to help kids. He's trying to save a religion and an entire galaxy by reestablishing said order that had just epically failed a generation before. He is saying, I'm worthy of being listened to. That in itself is a monumental emotional task. Luke did this after he was manipulated by his own teachers, mentors, because Luke is good. What happens when we fail ourselves? Because we all do. Luke awakens after his moment of weakness, the same weakness we see in Return of the Jedi, to his life's ambition all dead. In this moment, Luke fails his sister, his nephew, the students that trusted him, his masters that trained him, and the entire galaxy that needed him. This is at least how he feels. The failure ends in the death of folks he loved and was responsible for. It's traumatic. Yet, Luke still loves the Force. He knows he doesn't own it, but he loves it. He failed his nephew. He is unwilling to kill his nephew, like his father. He failed the future, and because of his ambition, many are dead. His belief that he knows the way is crushed. Luke knows that the cosmic Force will call upon a new chosen one, paired with his PTSD and doubt. He thinks perhaps the next generational cycle, one without his influence, will leave the galaxy better off. This is clear in The Last Jedi. How could his character feel otherwise? But ultimately, through non-confrontation and the inspiration of a hopeful youth, much like he was, Luke is reminded that regardless of what he wants, is a great power and great responsibility. Oh, that is Uncle Ben and not Hermit Ben, never mind. The Last Jedi climaxes with Luke Skywalker's return to form, with the performance of a lifetime from Mark Hamill. I mean, great job, dude. He gives himself over to the Force in order to restore hope to the entire galaxy. And he does so by bravely standing off against the entire First Order. Okay, not the entire First Order, but aplenty. And he does it without throwing a punch. Manages to teach his lost Padawan a serious lesson. Thanks for your words, Zach. I love that take. I love the way you interpret it for your life, for others. That's the beauty of Star Wars. We'll see you next time on Spotlight Star Wars here on the Force Center podcast feed. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Go to our Instagram page. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit that bell so you don't miss in memoriams and show and tells and all the things we're putting up there on the site. You can always support us at patreon.com/Force Center and try a free audiobook out on us at audibletrial.com/Force Center. Again, we'll see you next time here on Spotlight Star Wars.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.